Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Samaches. We begin in Daf Samaches Amud Aleph, the new parak Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Actually, the primary subject, certainly at least at the first part of this parak, is a well-known rule, the rule of a ben pekuah. A ben pekuah is an animal that if you shech the mother, you find the fetus in the womb of the mother. And the halacha, as we're going to see in this parak, is that that ben pekuah, that fetus, at least midaraisa, may be eaten without shechita. We're going to discuss machlokes tanoim, when there is a chiyuv shechita, when perhaps there's a chiyuv shechita. But poshet ben pekuah doesn't have chiyuv shechita. An important issue that the achronim discuss, and we'll refer to this question in our shiurim, is when we say that a ben pekuah doesn't require shechita, what does that mean? Does it mean that this is an animal, that the Torah tells us that you can't eat animal meat without shechita? This is a case where you can. It's exempt from shechita. Or do we understand it that it has shechita? The shechita of the mother is as if the child was properly slaughtered. The Miri points out that later in our Perek in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to learn some Hilchos Treifos though, and therefore he asked the obvious question. We've just finished learning Baruch Hashem Perek El Treifos. We learned the Hilchos Treifos. Shouldn't have we first learned and finished the sugya of Hilchos Treifos before we get into this sugya? Says the Meiri that the Meiri's pshat is that as we're about to begin, and this is going to be the primary subject of the coming shiurim, is that when we have this ben pekuah, if it stretches out a limb, it stretches out a hand, a foot, then that animal, that part doesn't have to have their ben pekuah. So we're going to have a situation, the part of the fetus may be eaten, and part may not be eaten. So that's the situation of semi-trephus, and that's why the Mishnah continues teaching us those kind of halachas. That's how the Meiri says. Similar to what we discussed in the previous year, when we spoke about an animal meat that had shrotzim, that had worms form on it, that we said you can't eat the worms because the worms are considered eva menachai, and the heter shechita doesn't work on the worms. So again, it's a similar situation where part may be eaten, part may not be eaten. So our Mishnah is a perfect continuation. So it says the Mishnah, behet ma'am akasha leilet. If the animal is having labor pains, and the Mefarshim explain what's the point of teaching us that it's having labor pains, what does that have to do with the halacha we're about to learn? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that it's typical that an animal during labor will have a hand or a foot stick out, and that's the issue that we're going to discuss. Another pshat that I saw is just the same concept the other way. When you see an animal sticking out a hand or a foot, you know that it's about to go into labor, and that's why the situation that we're discussing typically happens during labor. Another pshat that I saw, interesting pshat, is that we're saying now, and as I said a moment ago, that if the animal sticks out a leg or a foot, that's not considered that was part of the ben pekuah. It's considered that it was separate from it. So one would think that's during labor. So it sticks out the hand or foot and puts it back in, even as we'll see. That shouldn't be considered an independent act, and therefore it should not be looked at separately. Teaches us the Mishnah makes no difference why he did it, when he did it. Once it stuck out that leg or that foot, the halachas we're going to discuss come into play. For hoitzi ubers yodoi, it sticks out a leg and puts it back in. Muta bachila. What's muta bachila? As I said, we're going to discuss in the Gemara. However, says the Mishnah, hoitzis roishai, once the fetus stuck out its head, abishach ziroi, even though it puts it back in to the mother's womb, hareza kiyolot. The halacha looks at that fetus as if it was already born. What is considered? And therefore, even if when it was actually slaughtered, it was in the mother, it would make a difference. It would have to have its own shechita. how much of the head has to emerge that should be considered slaughtered. It seems that the opinion of most Rishonim, it doesn't have to have the whole head. It's the forehead is enough. And many Rishonim say not even the whole forehead, the most of the forehead would have the same halacha. Interesting diak that the Rosh Yosef makes. Rosh Yosef makes a diak that in the first case of the Mishnah, it says muta b'achila. In the next case of the Mishnah uses the words harezek k'yolod. Why does the Mishnah change its wording? Says the Rosh Yosef. By hoitzis roshoy, the animal's permitted, you just have to shecht it. How does that express? Harezek k'yolod, it's independently born. In the first case, as we're learning, the fetus may be eaten, but not the arm. So you can't say harezek k'yolod, because harezek k'yolod would mislead you into believing that you could do shechita on the fetus. And there's a very important point I must make. Let's say the fetus sticks out its hands. So now, and then the rest of it was left inside, the animal slaughtered. So you'll say, in order that I should be able to eat the leg, able to eat the fetus, the spempaku, I'll shecht it. You can't do that, because that shechita is a meaningless shechita. Because a shechita that you're not obligated to do, the leg requires shechita. The rest of the animal doesn't require shechita. That shechita therefore remains a meaningless shechita and cannot help at all. Another halacha. Chaytech m'ubish v'me'ah. Let's say as the fetus is in the animal's womb, you take off a part of it and left, it would never came out. Muta b'achila. As we'll see, the fetus and the cut off organ may be eaten. However, that is another halacha. Menat chol menat kloyus. Let's say somebody cut off the spleen or the kidneys of an animal, asa b'chila, and then you shech the animal. You're allowed to eat the animal, but you're not allowed to eat that spleen or that kidney. But again, going back to what we discussed in the previous parak, the animal, just because it has a cut off spleen or kidney, doesn't become treif. Because it would be a different organ. The Mishnah is being very specific in mentioning these organs. Because other organs, if they're cut, the entire animal becomes a treifa, and the shechita is obviously meaningless. Zeh klal. Davish gufa. If you cut off a part of the animal without making it into treifa, you could eat the rest of the animal, just the cut off organ, awesome, you may not. Vishayin gufa. But if you cut off part of the fetus, and it never was outside of the mother, then you could eat even the part that was cut off from the fetus mutter. Says the Gemara, Om Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Ve'ever Atzmai Asur. Going back to the first din of the Mishnah, do you have this Bempekua that sticks out its leg, its hand, from the mother's womb? That becomes permanently Asur, even if it puts it back in before you the Shechita. Ask the Gemara, Mai Tama. Says the Gemara, the Amakura, Obas Besada Treifa Lai Sechelu. So the Rishonim, once the animal stuck out part of its leg, Nessa remains permanently usher. So Mepharshim discuss how we see this from this pasuk. I saw two approaches. One approach is a fairly similar approach. This is the pasuk that we discussed in the previous parak that teaches us the Issa Treifa. So the Torah should have said, Bosa Treifa, lo Issa Chelu. Why does the Torah have to add the word Besada to teach us this halacha? That's one approach. The Sefer, Haksava HaKabbalah, has a very nice explanation. He says, what is the definition of treifa? Not the literal definition. The definition of treifa is that there's an abnormality here. It's out of order. He says, an animal, a fetus, that sticks out its leg, its hand, it's abnormal. The child, whether it's a human or animal, makes no difference, should all come out at one time. That's why it's compared to a treifa. Actually, this vart from the Ksava Kabbalah, besides that it's a very nice vart, can answer a very fundamental question. We learned, and we'll actually refer to this in our shiurim, that this pasuk teaches us another halacha as well. The halacha that we learned when we learned Masechet Zvach, when we learned Masechet Menachos, that if you take kachim out of where they're allowed to be, kachim out of the Azara, kachim kalim outside of Yerushalayim, they become disqualified. The question is, how do we learn such two disparate rules? Something about kachim being taken out of their proper place And this halacha about a leg or a foot of the Bempekua that emerges from one same pasuk. But if you think about it, it's the same concept. It was something abnormal happened. It wasn't where it's supposed to be. The kachma is supposed to be where they're supposed to be. The fetus is where it's supposed to be. And the Torah with this pasuk is teaching us that if such an event occurred, it's non-kosher. But now, it's a very fundamental question. The Rami Moshe discusses this. We're learning that the hand or the leg that emerged of the Bempekua, even if it went back in before the Shechita, can't be eaten. Why? It says, Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say it remains Eva Menachai. And some Rishonim say that it's Trefa. What's the Machlokes? The Rishonim that say it's Eva Menachai is fairly easy to understand. What do we say at the beginning of our shiur? That the shechita of the mother helps for the baby, but it doesn't help for the hand. So the hand remains Eva Menachai. Those that say that's treifa will learn this way, says the Rami Moshe. The shechita is a shechita. And if the shechita of the mother is effective for the child, it's effective for the leg and hand of the child as well. There's a new halacha that it should be treated as a treifa, that you're not allowed to eat it. Interesting machloikas rishonim. Unbelievable machlokes rishonim, which is connected to this machlokes. Rambam and Ravid. And this is a much more common question than the issue that we're discussing. What happens if an animal is pregnant, the fetus sticks out its hand or leg, puts it back in, and then the baby is born? So the Ravid says, the baby was born, and you shucked and you eat it. The Rambam says, no. The Algamar says that once the hand or the leg come out of the animal, they remain trei forever. Why? What's the machlokes Rambam Ravid? The Ravid probably learns it's Eva Menachai. And Eva Menachai, it isn't. It's part of an animal that I'm shechting properly. The Rambam says, as we just explained, that this, the Torah calls a treifa, and once it's a treifa forever. Ask the Gemara on this psak of Rav Tanan. We just learned in our Mishnah. Behem amakasha leilid v'hotzis ubes yado v'chzira. If it sticks out its hand and it puts it back in, muta b'achila. My love, doesn't the Mishnah when it says muta b'achila say mean the aver? So Rav says that that aver, that limb, you'll never be able to eat. Doesn't our Mishnah say that you will be allowed to eat if it sticks it back in? Says the Gemara, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means the Uber. You'll be allowed to eat the Uber. The Avery you can never eat. Ask the Gemara if the Mishnah is referring only to the fetus. But the Aver that went out will never be permitted. Ia Uber, my area chachzira. What's the difference if it puts it back in or doesn't put it back in? I feel hiloyach zero nami. It should make a difference. The Uber is mutter. And the Aver is Aser. So why did the Mishnah have to say Vechzirai? Answers the Gemara, absolutely correct. Who had not forgot the Vechzirai? The halacha is that even if it didn't put back, it's that Aver, the Uber is Mutter, the Aver is Aser. So why did the Mishnah speak about Vechzirai? Because I had the Kabbalah Mishnah Sefer. Since the next case of the Mishnah, that teaches us, Hoitzi is Roshay, that once the fetus sticks out its head, Af Pish Vechzirai, even if it put its back in, doesn't make a difference. Hareza kiyalud. So that's where the word, that's where hechziroi is important. That's why tananami reish hechziroi. So the only reason the Mishnah and the reish spoke about hechziroi is because of the sefer. Ask the Gemara. The sefer k'may k'mashmon. What is the sefer teaching us? The kiva the yotzer roishoi. Once the head came out, havelei leidah. That's what the Mishnah, I need this Mishnah to teach us this din. Ask the Martanina. That halacha, that as soon as the head comes out, the animal is considered born, we know from a Mishnah Bechairis. And a word of introduction is required. We all know that the Torah speaks about a Bechor. And when we speak about a Bechor, there are two halachas that we think of. One is the halacha, that a Bechor, you have to be paid a Bechor. Pinyin Aben. And as we say every morning, the Kapeta, that the who is considered the Bechor? The Peter Rechem. We'll speak about this a lot in this parak. The child that comes out of the mother's womb first. Then there's another din of Bechar. Bechar is Noitel Pishnayim. A firstborn son gets a double portion of inheritance. The Torah, when it describes that halacha, uses different characteristic, different quality, different rule. Then the Torah says, Ki hu reishis oinoi, loi mishbar habachayra. What's the meaning of reishis oinoi? Reishis oinoi means that there's a special connection between a father and his firstborn son. So there it has nothing to do with the firstborn child. Firstborn child from Petarechem. It's the firstborn viable child. And therefore, as we're about to learn, if the first child that's born is not viable, was never viable, not that he was born and died, Rahman al-Salam, but was never viable, and then a second child is born, that second child may not be a Bechar as far as Hilchos Pidyon HaBen is concerned, but he is a Bechar as far as Nachla, as far as double share of Yerusha is concerned. And one more point, which is the crucial point, what is considered born, as we'll see if the head comes out. So it can't be, says the Gemara, that the purpose of our mission is to teach us this halacha, that what are you or aren't you considered born based on when the head emerges, because that we already know from Masechet Bechorot, from the halachas that I just described. Because the Mishnah says in Masechet Bechorot, Eiz b'chal nachla, which son is considered a Bechor for Hilchos Yerusha, Vein b'chal l'kahanim, but not a Bechor as far as Hilchos Pidyon HaBen, Haba achan falam. If the first child or children, Rachman son that were born, were not viable, even if their head came out, makes no difference. They were never viable. Oy, ben tes shiyotz roi shemes. So the first child never came out alive. So the second child or the subsequent children will be the subsequent child that does Baruch Hashem survive will be the Chor. But what do we see? The child that came after the first child is considered a Bechor because the first one, when its head came out, it was already mace. No longer alive. If the first child was past the 8th month, because in halacha we know that a child in the 8th month is not considered viable, but if he would have been if his head would have emerged alive, then the haba achrav, the next child, bechol nachla namloi hava. Why? Because the first one is considered born. What made him born? The fact that his roish came out. So doesn't that Mishnah clearly teach us that the emergence of the head makes you born? We don't need our Mishnah to teach us that. Says the Gemara, V'chitei mashminim ba'odom v'kamashmolam b'behema. That Mishnah is teaching about, by humans, the emerging of the head makes you born. Our Mishnah is talking about animals because we can make an argument that we need a separate Mishnah for people and a separate Mishnah for animals. The Adam Behema La Yalif, you can't learn people from animals. The Aim Brahis del Behema. A human being, a woman has a birth canal. Animals do not. On the other hand, Ubehema may Adam La Yalfa, nor can you learn the halachas of animals from people. Because by people that the Roish has a chshivas, has a significance. The chosh of parts of Panim today, his face is considered significant. An animal is not. But Hanani Tanina. That animals and humans, as far as birth are concerned, do have the same halacha, is already something that we already learned elsewhere. Because halacha is, shilya shiyotze miktsasa, if the sack came out partially, asura bachila. You may not eat it, because we have to be concerned that the head is in it. So you see, and it doesn't make a difference, animal or people. So you see that they do have the same halacha. So everything that our Mishnah taught us has been taught already. So Gemara makes its point. If we're going to say that the Mishnah in the first case, that it taught us this halacha, that when it put its foot back in, you're allowed to eat the foot. And that's what the Mishnah spoke about, Akzira. So that's why Tana Sefer Teresha. Then the next case of the Mishnah about the head is also mentioned, even though there's nothing that we don't know already. Tana Sefer Teresha. The second case is mentioned to be similar to the first case. Early Amrit, Loi Deresha Dafka. Then in the Deresha makes no difference if it puts back the head or doesn't put back the head. V'loi the Sefer Dafka, neither in the Sefer does it make difference if it put back. In the Deresha doesn't make a difference if it puts back its leg or not. And the Sefer doesn't make a difference if it puts back its head or not. So Lamali Lamisni. Klal, why does it have to mention it? If at least in one case, the fact that the Mishnah taught us the din of the Mishnah taught us Hechzira, that it put it back, and it makes a difference in Halakha. So I could say it mentioned it once, then the other cases, even if though it doesn't make a difference, we mention it again. But in every case that it's mentioned, it doesn't make a difference. So why is it mentioned all the time? Answers the Gemara, La'olam Ha'uba. Rav sticks to his position. What's Rav's position? That an animal that stuck out a leg or a hand makes no difference if their leg or their hand is still out or goes back in. The uber, the fetus, can be eaten based on the shechita of the mother, not the leg. So why does Mishnah speak about Chazira? It doesn't make a difference. Answers the Gemara for a different halacha. Kedama Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. La'nitzcha l'makam chatach, hachanam la'nitzcha l'makam chatach. Although Rav says, and we're going to go through the entire shiur, and Rav is going to stick to his opinion, that if the animal, the fetus, sticks out its leg, that leg may never be eaten, whether it leaves it out or puts it back in, there is a nafkamina. The nafkamina is the part where it's connected to the rest of the animal, to the rest of the fetus. If it keeps that leg out, then the halacha is, not only may that leg not be eaten, but even the part where it's connected to the rest of the fetus may not be eaten. If it puts it back in, the leg you still can't eat. But the place where it's connected to the rest of the fetus, makam chatach, will be allowed to be eaten. Why? So Rishonim explain, if it's inside, then it's not visible. The Torah speaks about basa basada, meat that you could see. So if it's inside, it's not visible, we're more lenient. If it's not, we're stricter. Others say it's exeris akasav, there's no lumdus to it. So Gemara continues. Toshma. Behema makash leilid. The Brisa says, the animal, makash leilid, hoitzius ubis yada, and it sticks out its leg, vichzira, and then he puts it back in, vakach shachres imoy, the loch is mutabachila. However, shachet es imoy, if the mother of the fetus was slaughtered, and only vakach chzira, Asabachila. Similarly, Haitzi es yodai v'chatchai. First he stuck out the hand and you cut it off. V'akach es shachet es imai. And then you shech the mother. Sra locha. Shebachutz. Anything that's outside of the womb is tamei. Because this cut off aver is an aver menachai. And aver menachai is metame kenevela. We learned many times on Avail Batama. Vishabafnim tahor, but what's inside, that means the mother and the fetus are tahor, because the halacha is the live animals are not considered food, and they're certainly not considered people. And the only things that can be makabel tuma are food or people or kalim. A live animal is none of that. It's not a person, obviously. It's not food yet, because it's alive. And it's not kalim, obviously, either. Shachres imoy, continues the Braisa. You shechted the mother of ach kachotcha, and only afterwards you cut off that leg, which is asr. Then the basr is magnavela. That leg is tamei, and it's matama, the mother it's connected to, because now it's dead. And once it's dead, it's food. And food is makabel tuma, divremeya. The chamayimrim, that it's not considered as if it became tummy from nevela, it's considered as if it became tummy from a treifa. What's the nafgamina? A very big nafgamina. Because a nevela is metame midaraisa. A treifa, as we've discussed many times, is not metama. Midrabanan is only metama kachim. So it's a very big nafgamina if you consider treifa or nevela. Ketanimiyah, but what's relevant to us, Ketanimiyah Reisha, what it's saying the Reisha, Hoitzi Ubes Yadav Zira, if the animal stuck out its hand and then put it back, Vakach Shokhras Ima, it says here, Mutbachila. My love, doesn't the Bryson mean to say, Aver, that you could eat that Aver, even though at one point stuck it Aver out. And Rav says that the Aver that went out is never mutter. Says my lawyer. The Bryson meant was the Uber. The Aver is always also, once it went out. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to understand, let's continue. Yeah, Uber, it was saying that Bryce is speaking about the Uber. Ema Sefer, let's look at the Sefer. Shacharas Ima, if you shechted the mother of Akach Zirai, and only afterward it puts back in, Os Bechila. So the question is, via Uber, am I Osir? Why is the Uber Osir? If we're saying that the Bryce are there when it speaks about Mutter Bechila, Os Bechila is not talking about the Aver. For as Rav says, the Aver is always Os Bechila. It's speaking about the Uber. Why is the Uber Asr? It was in the mother's stomach, by the Shechita. And this is the Gemara, the test that we already gave. K'ram Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, le'nitzcha el makom chatach. L'chanami, le'nitzcha el makom tach. The Uber is always mutter. The Aver is always Asr. The Nafkamina, if it put back its hand before the Shechita, after the Shechita, is the place where it's connected to the fetus. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is this true? He brought along the following braisa. The Torah says, parsa, the Torah says, parsa, parasois. To teach us, parsa achoyl, parsa hichs achoyl, parasois hichs achoyl. My love, what is the braisa teaching us? Hichsa, parsa. If the animal stuck back its leg before the shechita, echoel parsa, then not only can you eat the fetus, but you may be allowed to eat the leg as well. Lo hichsa parsa, if it doesn't put back the leg, echoel uber. Then you could eat the uber, only the uber. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that that's what the braisa means? E Uber, if we're saying that Bryce is teaching us that that part of the Bryce is teaching us that even though it didn't put the leg back in, and you're therefore not allowed to eat the leg, but you could eat the Uber, so Mayiri Hichser. Doesn't have to be a case where it put it back in. For the Uber is Mutter, I feel like Hichsanami, if you didn't put it back in. Ask the Gemara, answer the Gemara, the same terrorist for the third time. Amram Nachma Yitzchak. It's coming to teach us the makom chatach is mutter. Ask the Gemara, v'atrei kronosif. We just mentioned two psukim. The pasuk of prasa hechzor and prasa hechzor. My love, isn't the need for two psukim, chad le'aver, want to teach us that you're allowed to eat the aver if it goes back in? Chad, to teach us the halacha l'makom chatach. Now, of course, the Mefarshim ask, if you're allowed to eat the Aver, you're certainly allowed to eat the makom chatach. So if one pasuk is teaching us that you're allowed to eat the Aver, why do I need another pasuk for makom chatach? So Mefarshim say that if I only had one pasuk, as is usually the rule throughout Shas, I would say the pasuk is telling us the smaller chiddush. What is the smaller chiddush? The makom chatach. And I wouldn't say the pasuk is teaching us the bigger chiddush that the entire Aver. But now that I have two psukim, I say one pasuk teaches us the makom chatach, but still, since I now have another pasuk still available, what's that pasuk teaching us? You're allowed to eat the Aver. So don't we have a proof that not only may you eat the makom chatach of where the leg or hand went out, but even the leg or hand that went back in, as long as they went in before the shechita, may be eaten, says my Lord. Chad indeed teaches us the makom chatach, that the aver went back in before the shechita, the place where it's connected to the fetus may be eaten. Chad teaches a different halacha. L'kolot b'mei parah. We know, we've discussed it in the previous parak, that the simonim of a kosher animal are, if it's shasha sesa, if it's malagera, if it chews its cud and has split hoofs. We're going to learn later in our Masechta a machloikus of Rav Shimon and the Chachomim. They discuss a situation where an animal, a kosher animal, has a child that doesn't have split hoofs. And we'll discuss the same rule could be if it's not malagera. But the case that we're speaking about is that it doesn't have split hoofs. And Rav Shimon teaches us that if an animal gives birth, if a kosher animal, a kosher mother, gives birth to a child that doesn't have split hoofs, you can't eat that child. Says the Gemara, what that pasuk is teaching us, Alivd Rav Shimon, Dharma Rav Shimon, Kolab Ben Parazasar, that a mother that has a child without split hooves, you may not eat that child. Says the Gemara, Hani Mili, Hechad Yotzlav Roilam. That's only if it was born normally. So the Torah teaches us that if a child is born to a mother normally, and the mother is kosher, but the child doesn't have the simoni conscious, you may not eat it, according to Rav Shimon. But Rav Shimon will agree that if you shech the mother, and you have the fetus in the mother's womb, that we're learning in our entire shir, that you may eat that fetus, even if that fetus doesn't have split hooves, you're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to eat it. And that's what the pasuk is teaching us. But it doesn't teach us what the Gemara thought, that if it puts its leg back in before the Shechita, you're allowed to eat it. For that's not true. So till now, our entire shir has been focused on the opinion of Rav, that Rav holds that if the fetus sticks out its leg or hand prior to the Shechita of the mother, even though it put it back in before the shechita of the mother, it wouldn't make a difference. That leg can never be eaten. And the Gemara challenged different rayas, but Rav is still standing. But now the Gemara gives a different opinion. Ulam Rav Yochanan, Eiver Atzmei Mutar. The Eiver may be eaten. If it put it back in before the shechita, not only is the fetus permitted, but even the Eiver. Amle Rav Yehuda Le'ula. Ask Rav Yehuda to Ula. For Rav Shmuel the Amri Tavayu, Eiver Atzmei is Asur. Did you not allow to eat it? So it's a beautiful pshat from the Lev Aryeh. He says, until now, this opinion that you can't eat the Eiver, whether it's out or in, has been only said in the name of Rav. Shmuel's name was never mentioned. All of a sudden now Shmuel's name is mentioned. What happened? Where was he till now? So Lev Aryeh says a beautiful pshat. He says, we know throughout Shas that whenever we have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel in Hilchas Issa V'Heter, we follow the opinion of Rav. So the fact that Shmuel concurs with Rav is immaterial. Once Rav said, this is the halacha, that's the halacha. But now Rabbi Yochanan is disagreeing. And they're trying to convince Rabbi Yochanan, or Ula, who's saying the halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that he's wrong. So what's one of the arguments that could be made? That not only Rav disagrees with you, but even Shmuel disagrees with you. So now it's important for the Gemara to say that even Shmuel agrees. Till now it wasn't important. Amalei. So Rabbi Yochanan makes a very strong statement back. Man yov lo mi afra de Rav Shmuel. If somebody gave us from the dust of the burial place of Rav and Shmuel, umelin and einan, we would put it on our eyes. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that he was saying, I have the greatest respect for Rav and Shmuel. The dust of where they're buried is choshev to me. I would put it on my eyes. And in fact, I saw the Shomer Tzion Balacha says that this is where there's a minig that some people kiss a grave. There's a minig that some people have to kiss a grave. It's from this Gemara to show the dust with tzaddikim and great people are buried are choshev to me. But then he says another very powerful pshat. And it's very much in line with the pshat that we just said. What was the argument being made to Rabbi Yochanan? Rav and Shmuel, say it. How could you disagree? Rav and Shmuel. So what did Rabbi Yochanan say? How is a Jew supposed to learn Torah? A Jew's supposed to learn Torah, he's supposed to look for the truth. Malina, you don't can just cover your eyes and say, Rav and Shmuel said it, and I'm not asking questions. Malina, you have to keep your eyes open. And if my eyes are open, and the way I see it, Rav and Shmuel are wrong, I have to disagree. Hachem Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says the following, Hakalhoi b'chlal, basa, b'sada treflai sechelu, which we're explaining, the Torah teaches us that if something is not where it's supposed to be, if it goes out of the right place, it becomes asur. And that's what halacha is. The leg that goes out is not mutter. However, and I have to review a parash in the Torah. The Torah says that on the day the Mishkan was inaugurated, the Bnei Aaron and his children burnt the carbon chattis of Rosh Chodesh. It was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And Moshe Rabbeinu approaches them and says, why did you burn it? It wasn't brought to the wrong place. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying? That if it would have been brought to the wrong place, I would agree that it should be burnt. But it wasn't. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu challenged them. So says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yochanan, chattis hu the parak rachmana ba. Only by the chattis is there a halacha that if it goes to the wrong place, it becomes permanently disqualified. Avakol mili, everything else, kivin da hadashari. Once it's back in the right place, it's fine. And therefore this leg, this hand that went out of the womb, as long as it's back in the womb before the shechita, shari tzmuta. So the Rabban asks a great question. We spoke extensively at the end of the last perek about the shlosh esrei midrash. Shlosh esrei midas, the brisa of Yishmael. And one of the shlosh esrei midrash midas is called davar shehi b'klal, the yotzim naklal lalamid. If something was in a rule, the yotzim naklal lalamid, it went outside. Lo lalamid al atzma yotza, it didn't only teach us the halacha regarding itself. El lam naklal kula yotza. It's come to teach us that this is the case in all cases. So why don't we say that when the Torah says that chatos, that's taken out of the right place, becomes permanently disqualified, isn't a halacha only by chatos, it's by everything, even the leg. So I saw two terutzim to that question. One question, teretz is, it isn't only speaking about chatos, it's speaking about kachim. Indeed, all kachim that are taken out of the proper place become permanently disqualified. But something that's not kachim will not have that halacha. The aver, the yad that we're talking about are not kachim. One teretz. Another teretz that I saw is that the question here is why do we have two psukim that teach us the same thing? Bas b'sedet trefa teaches us the halacha of something not being in the right place. And the pasuk by the chatos teaches us that halacha. Why do I need two psukim? To teach us by chatos, once it's in the wrong place, it remains permanently disqualified. By other things, they're only disqualified if they're not in the right place when you do the shechita. May say, what is the pasuk teaching us? The fish mitzinu b'maisa sheni u'vel kurim, the halacha is b'maisa sheni b'kurim, which must be eaten in Yerushalayim. Shav b'shiyotza chutz mitzosan, if they were brought to Yerushalayim and then taken out. And then the chazru, and then they were returned to Yerushalayim. Mitarim, yachl avzekein, that if the leg went out and then it went back in, it should be mutter, tanam lima trefa. My Talmudah, what does this teach us? Omer Rava, katrefa. Isn't the pasuk teaching us that it should be treated like a trefa? That the halacha is, ma trefa kivin shintrefa, once it becomes treif, shuv ein leheter, it never becomes mutter again. Af basar, kivin shiyotza chutz mechitzasa, shuv ein leheter. So we see here, unlike Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that once it's out of the right place, it remains permanently disqualified. It says the Gemara Tiyufta de Ula Tiyufta. So the way the Gemara ends is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion has actually been refuted, and actually the halacha is that if it's taken, if it goes out, it makes no difference if it goes back in before the shechita or not, it remains permanently disqualified. Before we go further, if we'll be able to. The Gemara here mentions a very important concept that we need to explore as we speak about Hilchos Treifos. The Gemara says here, Ma Treifa, Kivin Shenet Treifa, Shurva Ein Loi Heter. That something that's treif, once it's identified as treif, it always remains treif, it can never be not treif. So, what is the explanation for this? It goes back, even though, as we discussed numerous times, the Chazanish says, we do see that animals that are in the category of treifa can be healed. Says the Chazanish, that once Chazal, according to whenever they made the rules, said that something is in the category of treifa, even though medically we could see that it can be healed, it makes no difference. What's the issue with that? If you recall, the Achroinim ask, we learned in the previous perek that if an animal has a hole in the lung, it's a treifa. But the Gemara says that if the tzalos, if the rib cage covers up and closes that hole, it's kosher. How's that? Aren't we saying that kivin shenetrefa shavein leheter? So there are a number of answers to that question. One answer is that there's a difference if something is healed medically through a doctor's intervention, a veterinarian's intervention, or min shamayim. When the Gemara in the previous parak says that that treifa could be healed, it's not that we did anything to heal it. It happened by itself, min shamayim. The Gemara says that we can't heal a treifa. God could heal a treifa. That's one pshat. Another pshat is a very nice pshat. The fact that this hole was closed up is an indication there was never a hole. It's not pshat that it was a treifa and it healed. The fact that this hole was able to be closed up indicates there was never really a hole. So it's not that a treifa that got healed. It was never a treifa in the first place. A third approach that I saw in the Achroinim is that the Gemara says here that a treifa can never be healed. It doesn't speak about all treifas. As we said, and the Rambam is very clear about this, the treifa that's the primary example of a treifa is drusa, something that was clawed. That's what the Pasuk speaks about. Basa besada treifa. That treifa can't be healed. But a treifa because of a defect, a hole, or something like that, not a drusa, that's not what the Gemara means. The kivin shenetrefa shuv ein lo heter. Also interesting to point out, that even though, and we actually discussed this somewhat in today's shiur, that animals and people have a lot of times the same halacha, certainly in Hilchos Treifa, the Pasukim say the halacha of kivin shenetrefa Shuv ein loy refuah is only by animals, not by people. There's an interesting shayla that was asked. Chman al-Slan, there was a pogrom where there was a father and his children that were all killed. The father died, and there were three children. Two died before the father, and one was horribly injured, but didn't die until after the father. And the question was, does the mother require yibam chalitza? Because the child was certainly a treifa. She died a day later. But she died after her father. If we say that a treifa is considered dead, so it could be the father died after, and there's a chiyuv yibam. If we say that she, at the end of the day, survived past the father, and she was alive, then there is no chiyuv chalitza. Most pesukim are lenient.